Welcome to Return with Honor, a Wyvern Nation podcast hosted by the 31st Fighter Wing Commander, Brigadier General Tad Clark. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Return with Honor, our 31st Fighter Wing podcast. I'm Brigadier General Tad Clark, the commander of the 31st Fighter Wing, and I'm here with my amazing wingman, Chief Master Sergeant Cesar Flores. Chief, it's good to see you this morning. And we have an amazing guest with us today. In fact, it's Lieutenant Colonel Kim Guest, the commander of our 31st Security Forces Squadron. And we're going to talk about one of our cultural tenets in this wing, and it's a word we use frequently, but I think it requires some additional conversation. And the word is love, but not an ill-defined love. Love spoken in terms of a very deliberate way with a specific impact. So without further ado, I want to welcome you, Kim, to our show today. And I'm excited because a lot of our listeners aren't necessarily assigned to the 31st Fighter Wing. And in fact, there's some listeners that aren't even in the military. So we have a pretty broad audience, and I'm excited to share this topic with them. And we really, Chief and I, really think you have something very, very important to share with our listeners. So if we could just start off, Kim, can you introduce yourself to our listeners? And then we have a couple questions for you.
Sure, thank you. Thanks for hosting me and having me here today, Chief and General Clark. Introducing yourself, you always kind of, there's so many things that like comprise a person. And I was thinking through maybe just sharing some of the things that I think have been impactful for me as a human that have helped me generate what I define in respect to love and leadership. So I grew up in Florida. My parents were educator for elementary school. My mom ended up working in administration. She retired as a principal for elementary school. My dad was a preacher. So I'm a preacher's kid, which goes with all of the like crazy stories in the background of being a preacher's kid. I tried to go to college a little bit after I graduated high school, and then I ended up enlisting in the Air Force many, many moons ago. Lady never tells her age, so I'm not gonna tell you what year I enlisted. And spent 6 years active duty in backshot maintenance for F-15s, had a break in service, and then came back in, commissioned, and have been a defender ever since 2009. So I have loved my time as an airman enough that when I left, I realized it was something that I missed greatly, and it had become a large part of who I was. And I tell kind of a little bit about my parents because I do think a lot of my style and the way that I interact with my team is reminiscent of the way that my parents raised me. Hmm. So they're great people. I'm still lucky enough that I have them in my life. I'm very close to my parents. And other than that, my family, I have a younger brother. I still try not to call him my little brother because he'd be upset with me if he was sitting here. I have a younger brother, and then I have a niece and nephew, and they're still back in Florida. So that's the roundabout of my family.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot that you could share with our listeners about your upbringing and life experiences, both as well as in your Air Force career, enlisted and now as an officer. But we'll have to save that for another time.
Absolutely.
We do have, as I shared, as advertised, we do have a couple questions for you because I really want our listeners to hear from you. So the first question I have for you, Kim, is as a commander, how do you balance, in keeping with our theme today of love, mm-hmm. how do you balance loving your team, but holding them accountable?
So I don't see that as a but statement. Purely, it is and. I see them completely synonymous with each other. I love someone and hold them accountable. The way I love them is through accountability. You cannot protect someone. This is again, like when I look back at the way that my parents raised me, the times that I was most frustrated with them was when they were holding me accountable, but it was because they were teaching me something that I was either too young or too inexperienced or just didn't realize in the moment. It was something that I needed to know, or a skill or a strength or some kind of capacity that I needed to be prepared for later in life and down the road. And so what I've tried to do over the years is I think each of us kind of start to pull a page out of others' book on style and language. And the thing that Chief Smith and I have landed with for our team here is to be relentlessly demanding, and endlessly supportive. And to me, that's that balance of that push-pull relationship.
And say that again.
Relentlessly demanding and endlessly supportive. And we usually take the time to explain that it is intentionally a recursive emotion. It feels like an emotion, but it's really like a contractual agreement on the way that our team will function. There will be a high demand signal for standards, for mission, for it's endless. It will not stop. There will be relentless demand signal. But our job is to not only levy those demands because we see that you're capable of it, but to provide you all of the support you need in order to meet those demands. Years ago, I think I heard a podcast from retired General Gorentz, and he said the phrase, yes, if. So theoretically, I could say, you know what? I want to go kill that human that's standing across the corner for whatever reason. And the response would be, yes, sir, we can do that if we change the laws. Because right now, the laws do not allow you to. And interestingly, that return phrase demonstrated the support that they needed in order to provide him the environment to do or to conduct or to meet the requirement, whatever that demand was. And it seems like a very extreme demand, but I think that we kind of try to find very large examples of what that's like so that folks can kind of really get their head wrapped around it. And so it started with the yes if statement, and it's really, like I said, over time developed into that demand and support signal. So team, we see this is the expectation, this is the standard, and all I need from you is to tell me the things that are in your way of preventing you from being able to do those things. So that in return becomes your demand signal to me. And the way that I support you in order to meet the demand is by meeting your support, your demand signal as well. So I just felt like a very good, mutually respectful and mutually supporting kind of balance in a way to talk about loving is accountability. It's not loving, but also being. It is loving through.
Love it.
It's interesting. Yes, if to me, I just wrote a couple thoughts down. It says to the list, to the person that you're speaking to, that you have an open mind, but the if part is there's going to be a level of understanding if we take this course of action while we're walking down. So I love that explanation. Man, my question for you is, given your experience in the Air Force, do you have different approaches for loving your people depending on their rank, background, experience level, or just personality?
The short answer is yes. None of us are cookie cutter. I think that some of it you can kind of start to classify and categorize based on assumed experiences. If we're talking about our junior enlisted tier, they've got fewer reps in just by the nature of the fact that they've not been in as long as a chief master sergeant or a senior master sergeant. But I also acknowledge that generationally that they've grown up in a different world than maybe that I grew up in. And so a lot of, I think that the way that it differs is just simply by communication. It's not that there is less accountability or more accountability. It's just that the way that we talk about it or help them understand the why behind it has to take on a completely different approach. And even then, like even within the tiers of our ranks, each of those have personalities, like you said. Like there are some folks that are going to be much more driven by data, and then there's others that are much more driven by group dynamic or interpersonal relationships. And so understanding kind of what makes some of those levers pull and help them see that we value each of them individually with like that diverse kind of compromise. I think that the other part that I thought about this one a little bit, it took me some time to realize that our youngest service members, and I realized this when I was actually at West Point, because the cadets kept asking questions and it felt like they were questioning. And sometimes they were, not in their mind. They thought they were just asking questions, but I needed to help them realize that the way that they were asking questions was questioning, right? There needs to be a reciprocal amount of like trust in our experience. And so helping them understand the way that they're communicating to us is just as important as the way that we are communicating to them. I think just being honest with each other and having moments of those vulnerabilities, and time is the thing that there's never enough of, but taking the time to have some of those smaller group discussions, and usually in about 7 to 10 folks is where the sweet spot feels to be for us. The larger that your team is, or the larger that your unit is, it's harder to kind of get your hand wrapped around those. So you do what you can with what you've got. But the way that I think that we start, that I specifically personally kind of start to dial it, is helping them understand that there is a difference between questions and questioning, and that it's okay to ask questions, because I also have questions. And as long as it's coming from a place of curiosity and respect and the way that you're doing it, I think you can start to work through some of the way that you unintentionally miscommunicate past each other. So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. I have a sidebar that's not on the script. Has there ever been an appropriate time to say, because I told you to, and your member still feels loved at the end of it?
Absolutely. So there is, just because you are demanding does not mean you have to be a jerk about it. You can completely just say, that's not how we do it. And it's okay that I'm going to tell you that that's not how we do it. And I do it because you deserve to be seen better than what your behavior is demonstrating right now. Wow. You are better than that. There is nothing wrong with that. The only reason that I've been mildly successful is because someone did that for me. They've held me to account for the results of whatever decisions or behaviors I chose. It's not, accountability is not bad. It's not yucky. It is to hold someone to account for what they did. And the result might be a result they wanted, but the result might be a result that they didn't want, or that the team didn't want, or that the team didn't need. And if we aren't honest with them about it, then we're robbing them of the opportunity to understand where they could have maybe made a different decision.
Yes, ma'am. The how matters most.
It does. It's really powerful. There's so much I hope that our listeners are taking away from this conversation, the insight, the perspective. So another question for you, Kim.
Yes, sir.
What advice do you have for our young leaders who want to love their people while also maintaining the high standards and also maintaining professional boundaries?
I've had this conversation very explicitly with a lot of young officers and young NCOs. Like, within months of either becoming an NCO or within probably the first 12 months of commissioning. And I hear them often say, I want to take care of my airmen, soldiers, Marines, sailors. And the take care of them is get them more time off and help them win packages and help them feel good. And they're misassociating the word care with an emotion. Like, they think love is a way to make someone feel, when I would argue that love is an action that we demonstrate. And if you love them enough, you will hold them to that standard. Like, if no, again, I kind of go back to that thing that we just said before. If I'm jacked up and I got boogers hanging out my face, if you don't love me enough to tell me that I got boogers hanging out my nose, then I've got a problem, because I'm walking around and people are getting the wrong impression of what type of professional I am, or they are being distracted by something that does not have to do with my technical expertise or my professional ability to do my job. So I think just helping them, one, kind of get their head wrapped around that it's okay to do that, and that is the love and the nature and the caring for the people that you are responsible for. I think also talking them through what to do if. That's the other thing that I think folks know notionally about what accountability is. Like, if you didn't do something, they think accountability is only if you didn't do something, then there's this negative consequence. And that might be true, but if they've not planned the what happens if a standard is not met or if a timeline is not met, they've not got that backup plan, then they're kind of caught off guard and they just tell them again. Like, well, what happens when that suspense wasn't met? Well, I just said something to them again. Well, then that first expectation was not really an expectation because nothing happened. So helping them pre-game and pre-plan the if a standard is not met, if that timeline is not met, if that training is not accomplished, if it does happen, then you're great and everybody can move on to the next target or the next objective. But if it does not, what is my plan? And having that pre-gamed helps them feel more prepared in that moment where it's already feels a little icky because it doesn't ever get easy. You just get used to what that moment feels like. So I think just kind of helping them tabletop some of that and having, it's taken all of us years to have the arsenal of like things that we just reach into. Like, this didn't happen. All right, I already know. I'm gonna have this person do this. I'm gonna have that person do that. I'm gonna have it in concert with supervisor, flight chief, flight commander, whatnot. But in their early formative years on developing their own style of how to hold folks accountable and how to help them account for their behaviors, they just don't have that same arsenal that we do. So just kind of helping them build their own style and their own technique.
That's fantastic. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time where you need to wind it down here a bit, but let me just recap on a couple things I heard. And Chief, if there's a couple things you could recap that you heard as well. Kim, what I thought you started off with, which was very, very powerful, is relentlessly demanding, endlessly supportive. What I heard is a leader, you, setting the standard, expecting the highest standards and being demanding of that. But I also heard the part that you play in that of you are fully committed to the blocking and tackling that's required to set your team up for success so they have the skill sets to achieve what you're asking of them, but the expectation is that they deliver. It's a two-way street. So tough love, accountable love, intentional love, deliberate love. I also heard that, again, expectations are set. You're fully committed to what's required. But what I really thought for me, what was most compelling, is getting away from this notion that love is a feeling and instead love is an action. I think you are 100% correct. We want to take care of our airmen, but what is the desired end state? That they feel good, or are they armed and equipped to succeed in their mission and succeed in life? I think you strike a very, very healthy balance. I like how in the opening question also, you clearly delineated that it's not love, but hold accountable. It's because you love them, you hold them accountable.
Absolutely.
They are tied together. Very, very important, very, very impactful. Chief?
To not say the exact same thing as Gerald Clark said, there's a couple things that you and I, sir, use to describe exactly what Colonel Guess stated, but that relentlessly demanding, endlessly supportive. You know, we talk about, what are you doing the 99% of the time there's no friction or crisis or chaos with your team? Are you endlessly supporting them? And believe it or not, the times we're really demanding, it's kind of like weightlifting, it's like 1% of the time. That's a lot easier to take regardless of your approach if you're endlessly supportive 99% of the time. Right. And then the other piece is I always, always care about your care, not necessarily your comfort. If anything, I don't care about your comfort because that's more of a fleeting feeling. The care is always omnipresent, which again, you gave us a lot of great nuggets of how to further explain this subset because sometimes love is on the spectrum and it's good to hear another proven commander in the on the field be able to explain how they are successful in this discipline.
I agree, Chief. And what's amazing is in this space, we clearly communicated what our number one mission is, and that's to secure this base so that we can get after all the other things that we're trying to achieve. Secure the base, generate combat air power, ready to deploy and fight from home. And it starts with securing the base. And it starts with everyone being vigilant, yes, but there is a small remnant of individuals that take a very, very active role in the securing of this base, and that is you and your team, Kim. And It is very, very comforting for me and Chief to know that you're at the helm leading our airmen, our defenders, so that they can secure this base and they do it with purpose, but they know that they're being held to a high standard. And you are relentlessly demanding, but we definitely see that you are endlessly supportive. And I really do think that you strike that balance just so precisely, and it's very, very impactful. And that's why we wanted you to be on our podcast today. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you, Chief.
All right, so listeners, thank you again for listening to Return with Honor, our 31st Fighter Wing podcast. And again, Lieutenant Colonel Kim Guest, the commander of the 31st Security Forces Squadron, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to the Return with Honor podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the mission, airmen, and families of Aviano, visit the Aviano Air Base Facebook page. If you enjoyed the podcast, click to subscribe. We'll see you next time.